Now we're going to just ask God's servant now to come and to minister the word of the Lord. And let's have all of God's people praying throughout the meeting that the presence of God will come down and that the Spirit of God himself will come and speak to hearts and reveal to us the things of God. May God bless you so much and thank you.
If you've got your Bible with you, we're turning to the Old Testament and to the book of Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, and while you look that up, can I say, it is a joy and a privilege to be here again this evening. I met up with the Reverend George White due to the mission we had down in Newton Ards, just closed a week ago, and we were looking back to the time of the gospel mission here, and that just wasn't yesterday. In fact, that must be 25, 30 years ago. I was afraid to come up to the 30 there. But it's good to see each one and trust that God will bless our fellowship together. It's good to see people that I've met in other places as well. Here's a family should be in my church, you know. They emigrated down here. And it's good to see the family growing as well. And Brother Eric Stewart, Brother Terence as well. We met in one of Her Majesty's establishments a number of years ago. But I trust that God will bless us together around his word. We're not going to read all of the chapter so that you're not just here all night. Now, one of our ministers had a week of meetings at one of our churches. My son happened to be there. And the minister sang a hymn and said a prayer and put him on. And that was because he was normally quite long-winded. But he caught on to it. And his opening statement was, of course, the minister's put me on early, thinking I'm finishing early. We'll just be finished at the same time. And that finished at 9:45. Well, you're not going to be out of here at 9:45. You'll be long gone. Reading from Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, his knees smote one against another. The king cried to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. We read on down, moving on down to verse 13. As the astrologers were all brought in, and none of them could interpret the writing. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jury? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God, give Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver, of gold, of brass, of iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. This was the writing. This is the writing that was written, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting in Peres. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Amen. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we just bow together and ask for the Lord's help? Our loving God and our eternal heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for all your goodness to us today. And we thank thee for every token of thy grace and mercy. We're glad that we are alive to sing thy praises. We thank thee, Lord, for our health and strength, our soundness of body and mind. And we thank you also for the spiritual blessings of life, for the gift of thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him who loved us, gave himself for us, died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to thee. We're glad that in him tonight we have forgiveness of sins and peace with God and the assurance of heaven. We ask, O God, that each and all who are gathered here might enjoy that wonderful portion. We thank you, Lord, that we live in days of grace, days when God still speaks to men. And we thank you that because of Calvary, there's a way back to thee from the dark paths of sin. A door has been opened and we can go in. Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll bless your own believing people. We thank you for the gospel that still thrills our heart and charms our soul, that gospel by which we were saved. And, O God, we pray that you will help us tonight to lift up the Savior and to speak well of him. We ask that every heart will kneel in submission before him, claiming him as Lord and Savior of their life. We pray, Lord, that you will indeed open thy word to our hearts, and our hearts to thy word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very, very simply tonight, I want to leave a thought with you on a subject that I have entitled Harvest Time in a Man's Life. You will be familiar with the words of the great Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Galatia and said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when we come to Daniel chapter 5, we come to a time of reaping in a monarch's life. When the Apostle Paul wrote those words to the church at Galatia, he was, of course, dealing with monetary and material matters, for in those things there is a sowing to be done, and there's also a reaping to be done. But also in the spiritual realm, we must keep this in mind, because what applies in the law of the natural also applies in the law of the spiritual. In other words, whatever a man sows in this life, that's what he reaps. And whatever you and I sow spiritually, that is also what we will reap. That's why God said through the lips of the Apostle Paul, "Be not deceived. A man will go out in the spring of the year and he'll plough up the ground and he'll sow his barley seeds. And when it comes to harvest time, that's exactly what he expects to reap. He would be a fool if he expected to go out and to reap potatoes or some other crop. And yet you and I live in a day when many people feel they can live as they like. And then when death comes, God will throw open the door to all and sundry and welcome everyone. Doesn't happen that way. What applies in the law of the realm applies in the laws spiritually. Whatever we sow, that's also what we will reap. Sometimes there's great joy in sowing even the seeds of sin, but often the harvest is not so pleasant. And that's how it was in the life of this sinful monarch. He sowed his harvest, he sowed his seed, he reaped his harvest. And I think you would have noticed in the reading that there wasn't much pleasure or joy for him when the harvest had come forth. We must keep in mind this simple truth. Whatever I sow, that I must expect that's what I'm going to reap. If I sow to the flesh, then I'll reap a harvest of the flesh. If I sow to the Spirit, then I will reap a harvest of the Spirit. The Bible says, "Sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." But whatever we sow, there we have it. That's exactly what we shall reap. And Belshazzar stands in the Scripture like a monument to that truth. Whatever I sow, that I must reap. And as we come to look at this man, there are three simple thoughts that I want to leave by way of challenge to all of our hearts. I want you to notice, first of all, his sinful dining. Now, the minister saying you're going out to eat, pay your bill, lest you feel it's sinful dining. But here, we find that the aristocracy of the community, they're all assembled in the palace, and it was, of course, a place of sinful pleasure. What is the occasion of the feast? May have been a birthday or some other event. Normally, birthday events in the Bible last a little longer than our birthday events. Now the children will have a birthday party, and that will go on for a couple of hours, then it's gone. And those of us who are a little older, we don't really want anybody to know when it is birthday, because there'd be far too many candles to blow out. But this feast would have gone on for possibly weeks, and the palace would have become a place of sinful pleasure and drunkenness, eating and drinking and dancing and merriment and all the rest of it. Wasn't a thought in their heart about death. But thinking about his sinful dining there, the Bible tells us that the palace had become a place of drunkenness in verse 2. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring this golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. And of course, they drank wine out of those vessels. With the result that they desecrated the sacred vessels of the Lord. Now, you and I live in a day when many people have very little respect for things that are sacred and things that are holy. And they're living for the moment and they're not interested in eternity. They live for what they can have, not for what one day they might have. With many people, you and I gathering in a place like this is absolute foolishness. The Bible, of course, tells us that Belshazzar wasn't a wise man. In fact, he lived like a fool and he died like a fool. That is the simple truth of the gospel. If we live like fools, we'll die like fools. And I want to say this, and I trust I do not offend anyone. But my friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a fool. An absolute fool. The Bible has much to say about a fool, hasn't it? The Bible talks about the language of a fool. That the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now there are many people, and they will look out across the beauty of God's creation, and they'll say, it just happened. Doesn't that take some faith? Others will say, one day there was a big bang. In fact, I was at a funeral not so very long ago, and there were two ministers doing the funeral. One was a female, and the other was a male, and which was the worst, I'm not sure. And all she could pray about was thanking God for the man who had looked after his two wee dogs so well. And then when it came to the gentleman, he thanked God for the day there was the Big Bang. And they tell us that there was a Big Bang one day, and you have the world as you have it. You know, folks, we've come through years of terrible trouble in this land, and there's been many a big bang. And it didn't leave the place pretty. Leave the place shattered. But the fool will look out across the beauty of this creation and say, there is no God. And sadly, there's others, and while they will not deny the existence of the Almighty, they will say, no God for me. They're not denying his existence, but they're denying him his rightful place in their heart. Maybe you're here and that's been your talk in the past. You won't give your heart to Christ, you won't trust him as Savior, you're doing all right. But there's a day when a harvest must be reaped. But the Bible not only speaks about the language of a fool, it speaks about the laughter of a fool. Because over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 6, the scripture says this, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This man was making a mockery, making sacred things a laughing matter. Sometimes when you watch people and their reaction to certain things, watch people's reaction to an open-air meeting. As they walk by and some of them wag their head, that's what they did at the cross of Christ. Human nature doesn't change. And there's many, they make a laugh of this whole matter of being saved. This old-fashioned slaughterhouse religion. Why? That's obnoxious to them. We don't talk like that anymore. The Bible then, of course, speaks about the last of a fool. And you see, it had come to that moment in the life of this monarch. It had come to the last day and to the last night. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 20 and verse 12 and verse 20 of the rich farmer pulling down his barns, building greater. And there was nothing wrong with that. Many a man has had to pull down his barns and extend his business. But he only labored for time. You see, the Bible reminds us that it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, And folks, we have to think of what comes after the funeral, after the grave, where we would be 5 minutes after we're dead. And God said, "Thou fool, this night." One night can change everything. One visit to the doctor turned your world and mine upside down forever. And that one night changed everything in the life of Belshazzar. It was a place of desecration because in verses 3 and 4, they brought those sacred vessels that had been taken at the time of the captivity, and they used them for their sinful eating. God's not in their thinking. It was their day and they were living it. And folks, we have to realize this, that this is man's day. And he can do what he likes. And he can curse and swear and cheat and blaspheme. It's his day. He can do as he pleases. But we must remember, just as man is a day, so God will have a day. And God will treat man in his day as man has treated God in his day. That day has come for this sinful monarch. But the Bible goes on to talk about his sudden fear and his sad dilemma. You see, at the height of his blasphemy and at the height of his sin, when the cup of iniquity was full, something awful yet supernatural happened. This man is smitten with awful fear. In fact, he's crippled with fear. He's paralyzed with fear. He's shrieking like a man that has gone out of his mind. And here we see the finger of God. You know, of course, the finger of God had written before, and it's writing again. Always remember this, folks. The finger of God is writing the record of our life. You remember when God sent the plagues down into Egypt to break the Egyptian bondage and bring his people out and take them into the promised land? And God sent Moses and God sent plagues. And again, just like this monarch did, so the Pharaohs did, they brought in the wise and those who could interpret the thing and all the rest of it. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19, "Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God." Friend, there's things that happen in your life and mine. And there's things that happen in this province and across the nations of the world. And people put them down as mishaps and all the rest of it. It's the finger of God. And the finger of God was now writing on the wall of the palace. The finger of God's writing the record of your life. What does the Bible say? "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you." The Bible tells us through the lips of the Apostle John, and I believe that that verse is a clear answer to the question that is asked in probably the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job, when he said, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And the Apostle John answers that with the words, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." They do live again. It was D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, who said, "Someday you'll read in the newspaper that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it?" He said, "I will be more alive then than I've ever been in my life." And friend, death doesn't end all. That is a doorway that takes us into eternity to face the record of our life. John says the books were opened. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. God's finger writing the record of our life. He says the book of secrets was opened. That'll be a moment of awful judgment day, honestly. And the book of works and the book of words, God writing up the record of our life. And here in the palace, the finger of God is writing over on the plaster of the wall. The Bible says Belshazzar is trembling. And he's afraid. And one Bible commentator says of it, "He who swims in sin will sink in sorrow." And that's exactly what was happening in the palace. They were swimming in their sin. There was no sin that wasn't practiced in that place. And I'm sure I don't have to say tonight that sin brings sorrow. Friends, sin will bring sorrow into your life. And sin brings shame. And sin brings suffering. And there's many a man or a woman in this province tonight, and their body is raked with pain because of the awful sowing of sin. But what of that day when we stand before God? And those who die without Christ in the place where the worm dieth not. Belshazzar's reaping what he sowed. What an awful condemnation is this. The Bible tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's exactly what has happened. This man has now fallen into the hands of the living God. Of course, he wasn't raised in ignorance. Because Daniel said to him about his grandfather, and then he said, "You knew all this." But he despised the goodness of God. You see, his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, and he wielded great power because they said God had so blessed him. He set up whom he would, and whom he would he put down, whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he put to death. But power corrupts. And he thought now that he didn't need God anymore. You know, folks, there's many a Christian, and when times were hard and difficult, they walked with God. But in good times, they forgot. And of course, he should have remembered the goodness of God, and the Bible tells us that it's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. The wrath of God doesn't, by the way. Because when God comes in wrath, his mercy is past. And that is evident in the life of this man. God has so blessed his grandfather, and then his heart was lifted up in pride, and they took his earthly kingdom from him. In fact, the Bible says he became like a madman, an animal's heart almost, living like a wild beast in the field. He said, "You knew this." It's sad to say that many in Ulster have been brought up, nurtured in the gospel of Christ, but they've turned their back upon that. They know what is right and what is wrong, and they know the path that they should take, but they've gone the way of the prodigal. Maybe there's a young prodigal here, maybe an older prodigal here. And he certainly sowed his seed, and he reaped his harvest. He reached a period in his life when he wanted people to stop exercising authority over him. And he wanted to be his own man, do his own thing, go his own way. And that's exactly what he did. But it produced an awful harvest in his life. Never in his wildest dreams did he think that he, a Jewish boy, would finish up feeding swine and eating the very food that they ate. The result of sin. That's how it is in the life of this man. That's what it's come down to. And you have his sudden death. We've already said that one day can change everything. And the Bible tells us in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. The Bible reminds us in Proverbs 29 that he that being often reproved and hardened of his neck shall suddenly be cut off. And there are people who are suddenly cut off and sadly cut off in their sin. Friend, if you were cut off tonight on your way home from this meeting, where will you be 5 minutes after you're dead? When people have gathered in the home and they've paid their respects, and when they've gone to the cemetery and your mortal remains are laid in Mother Earth, where will you be in eternity? You see, when it comes to religious matters, folks, there's no neutrality. We're either in Christ or not in Christ. We're either saved or lost. We're either in God's heaven or God's hell. Death is the harvest of sin. Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, for the wages of sin is death. And there's physical death. That was the result of sin. Tell Adam, sinned in the garden, nothing ever died. Flowers never faded, the grass never withered, the leaves in the tree never died and fluttered to the ground. But Adam's sin ushered in death. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And there is physical death, the consequences of sin. There is spiritual death, that is separation from God. There is eternal death, eternal separation from God. And that night God had finished with this man. What if God were to finish with you tonight? How would it fare with your soul in eternity? And we know not what a day brings forth. The Bible says, what is your life? It's a vapor, it appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away, like steam rising up from a kettle on the boil. When the kettle goes off the boil, that steam or vapor disappears, it's gone. And such is your life and mine. And the hymn writer says, we're going down the valley, one by one, and there's always going to be that last day, that last moment, that last night. That last night had come for this man. When it comes for you, friend, where will you be in eternity? Are you sowing the seeds of sin or the seeds of righteousness? Frank Marshall, who worked with the Irish evangelistic band, a small band of men who worked along the border counties, and the story is told of Frank Marshall going to have a mission in an area, and he invited people to come to hear him preach. He'd met Frank Marshall a couple of times. It was said of Frank Marshall that he preached far too loud, and he shouted preached far too long and shouted far too loud. Heard that before. And he just retorted with the words, when you're in a lost eternity, you'll be shouting, Marshall, you didn't preach long enough. You didn't shout loud enough. And Frank Marshall, He saw a man in a field with a pitchfork working at hay. He went up to invite him to come down to hear him preaching. The man was furious. The man turned to Frank Marshall and said, "If you don't get the hell out of my field now, I'll run this pitchfork straight through you." And Frank Marshall walked away. And those meetings came and those meetings went. The man never came. At the end of the mission, they'd sorted out the things in the hall. Frank Marshall's going down the road and he saw the man in the field just leaning over his pitchfork. And he thought, I'll go up and speak to him. And Frank Marshall went up the field. And the closer he came to the man, he thought, well, he's not going to chase me today. The man didn't even look round. And Frank Marshall went right up beside him and put his hand on his shoulder. The man was leaning dead over the pitchfork. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That night changed everything. And friend, one night can change everything. Important thing is that you know Christ, that you're saved. Reap a harvest of life everlasting. Read the story of a prison chaplain. He walking through the prison, through the sewing shop. They were sewing old meal bags together. The old meal bags. And just as a point of contact, the chaplain said to the prison lads that were sewing, "It said, he's doing a bit of sewing, man." Quick as a flash, one of them said, "No, we're doing a bit of reaping." There's always the day of reaping. That day had come for Belshazzar. Now he must stand before God. And what a day, folks, that will be for those who die without Christ, face the record of their life, to hear him say, "Depart from me, I know you not." It's God's day. The opening of that chapter in Daniel 5 was man's day. When we come to the end of it, it's God's day. And friend, be sure you're on the right side. Do you know Christ tonight? Are you sure? Because these are things we need to be sure about. The Apostle Paul, after his mighty conversion on the road to Damascus, said this, "I know. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Give your heart to Christ. As Moody said, give your life to Christ, for he can do far more with it than you ever can. Give your life to Christ and do it now. This night may change everything. Hence the importance of seeking the Lord. Today is your golden opportunity. Let not this day pass, but rather reach out and lay hold upon eternal life. Be absolutely sure that heaven is your final destination. You can be sure. Or the Bible says you can be sure. The Bible says these things are written that you might know. Friend, if you don't know him,